House Bill 2700. And ask Karen Smith to come up and tell us what the Dash 18 amendments changes there are.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Karen Smith, and I'm a policy analyst in the Senate Majority Office. What I'd like to do is just quickly run through the Dash 18 amendments to House Bill 2700 and how they differ from the Dash 12 amendments that the committee considered last week.
Dash 18.
We had one change this morning.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
The Dash 18 amendments make several wording and technical changes to help clarify what our intent was in the Dash 12 amendments. They, for example, add, when we talk about emergency services, they clarify that we're using the prudent layperson standard to determine what emergency services are and how payments should be made under that standard. In addition, they add Senator Bryant's amendments that relate to contract changes that the committee heard about last week. This requires the Office of Medical Assistance Programs to provide managed care contractors with notice and appeal rights when they attempt to make changes to reimbursement rates or to covered services. We did go with a two-tiered approach to these amendments, which allow first an appeal to the director of the Department of Human Resources, and if the contractor is not satisfied with that, then the contractor may appeal in a contested case proceeding. And Senator Bryan, I believe in his testimony, indicated that that was Gary Weeks' preference to have that two-tiered approach. In addition, we made several changes to the copayment provisions. We added the exemption from copayment requirements that referrals from a primary care provider to a specialist would not be subject to a copayment. In addition, we added the prudent layperson standard for emergencies in those provisions. We tried to better define what preventive services are to include health screenings, immunizations, and prenatal care. And we finally changed the reporting requirement so that not all providers need to report how much they are collecting in copayments, but rather the department would do a sampling of providers, both the fee-for-service and managed care providers, to determine the extent of copayment collection. We added a provision to the Legislative Interim Task Force that the task force monitor the Office of Medical Assistance Program's development of the waiver extension for the Oregon Health Plan. They will be doing that within the next several months while the legislature is out of session, and we felt it was important that the task force be aware of those efforts. In addition, for the services that are provided out of state, we limit payments, but we did include two new exemptions. One exempts youth who are housed in Oregon youth facilities out of state to address the concerns that were raised by the Oregon Youth Authority in their testimony last week. And we also added a provision that for an exemption for emergencies that occur out of state, again, using the prudent layperson standard to determine whether or not the situation is an emergency. And we said that payment or reimbursement for those services could not exceed what would be paid to an in-state provider. And finally, we removed the language that prohibits state expenditures for services not reimbursed by the federal government. Those were sections 20 and 21.
Any questions?
Okay.
You've done good.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. We're in the work session. Need to move to Dash 18 amendments.
Mr. Chair, the 18 is all we have to consider. We'll move to Dash 18 amendments, possible 2700.
Senator Tarnal has moved the -18 amendments to House Bill 2700. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
I shall move House Bill 2700 as amended to the floor with two pass recommendations.
Senator Tarnal has moved House Bill 2700 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Tarnal.
Aye.
Senator Tarnal. Aye. Senator, the necessary majority, House Bill 2700 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Utah will carry.
Mm.
I'd like the missing members to be listed as excused, Senator Dukes and Senator Wild. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3219. And I would appreciate Tom Novick, Sandy Flecker, and John Berman to come forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, for the record, I'm Tom Novick, representing the Renewable Northwest Project today, and here to ask your support of House Bill 3219. I'll give a brief explanation of the bill, and then Sandy will talk about some consensus amendments that we have. House Bill 3219 would establish a system in Oregon known as net metering, and we would join 26 other states that have passed similar laws. Very simply, the bill offers simplified standards to encourage private investments in small-scale renewable resources, wind, solar, and micro-hydro systems. The bill will allow consumers to more easily use these systems, offset their own energy uses, and be connected to the electricity network. Net metering essentially allows the electricity produced by small renewable energy systems that's not being used directly by a consumer to flow back into the grid for use by others. Frankly, most of the time, energy on these systems is not in excess of what is needed. But occasionally, during particularly windy times or sun times of high sun, systems do produce more than the house uses. This would allow it to essentially roll the meter backwards. It's, as I said, an opportunity to encourage investments in these. What the bill does is a number of important things. It creates a simple, standardized protocol for connecting these systems to the electricity grid so that we can ensure safety, reliability, and power quality. It allows consumers that produce more than they use at one time to get credit for this against the next month's bill from the utility. And it encourages investments in small systems by simplifying metering and connection standards, reducing accounting costs. The bill passed 59-0 on the House side, enjoys the support of the conservation community, the PUC, the Office of Energy, PacifiCorp, PGE. When we got to this side, there were some concerns about some of the aspects of the bill passed on the House side, so we've worked to address those concerns, particularly some concerns of consumer-owned utilities. We've come up with a set of consensus amendments that, once again, everybody supports. So I'll let Sandy talk about those.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sandy Flicker, and I represent the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Novick and the Renewable Northwest Project for working with us to resolve some of the issues that we had with 3219. The rural electric cooperatives were concerned about a couple of the concepts in the bill as it passed out of the House side. We did develop some amendments to address those issues, which you have before you today. I will identify two that there are some fairly minor issues in here, but the two major issues that we were concerned with was first a liability issue. In the original bill, there was a requirement that customer generators not be required to have additional insurance. And there was a concern on the part of our utility folks that that may create a situation where utilities would become a deep pocket if in fact there was an accident or an injury. And so we did develop some language which does not hold the utility liable in that case, and so that is included in the bill. The second issue, and probably the issue that was most difficult to deal with, the original House Bill 3219 would have required utilities to pay a retail price for the excess kilowatt hours that were sold back to them. And we believe wholeheartedly that it was a better public policy to, in fact, pay for that resource as we do our other resources, which is at avoided cost or a wholesale price. So therefore, we worked with the Renewable Northwest Project to identify language that really gives the utility the option of either going with net metering or going with an avoided cost process, which would then allow them the option to pay wholesale instead of retail. And for that, we have offered to pay for the price of a second meter, because that would require a second meter to be installed. And we have offered that the utility would provide that meter and would also not charge that customer for things like additional billing or additional metering costs. So we were very willing to pick up some of those costs on the part of the utility, basically in trade for the public policy that we, in fact, purchase that as we do our other resources, and therefore it does not become a subsidy or is not paid for by our other customers. So we did work out that language. It is included in the A-10 amendments to House Bill 3219. I'm going to let Mr. Brenneman talk to you about his amendment for Idaho Power, but I guess just in wrapping up, the rural electric cooperatives very much support the concept of net metering and support mandatory net metering. It took us a little while to get to the point of being able to support this particular piece of legislation, but we are there, and we do encourage you to pass House Bill 3219 with the amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John Brenneman. I represent Idaho Power. Idaho Power currently does have a net metering kind of program in place. We don't call it net metering by those actual terms, but it was done by tariff and is in place. My portion of the bill is the Section 8 referred to by Sandy on page 2 of both amendments. I had the -A9 amendments drafted, and one of the things I added to it so that there was not a problem with calling it net metering was to add some language that appears on the -9 page 2. It's on line 10 and 11, which says, or a substantial equivalent offset. That a substantial equivalent offset language was left out of the -10 amendments. And I think by melding the two, we'll have what we need. And I would ask, by the way, I wanted to point out that we serve in Oregon about 18,000 customers in Ontario, Vail, Jordan Valley area of the state, and that's the portion that we do serve. What I think you can do is to change the -A10 amendment that you have before you by deleting lines 19 to 15 on page 2, and then substituting lines 8 to 15 from page 2 of the -A9 amendment that was dated 6/29. And I think by doing those two together, you'll have the language necessary that you could move the bill onto the floor, and I hope that you do that successfully and urge it to pass.
I believe, John, you misspoke. You said line 19 through 15.
Oh, I did. Lines 9 to 15 on page 2. Take the A10 amendment, delete lines 9 to 15 on page 2, and substitute lines 8 to 15 from page 2 of the -A9. How's that working?
Is there anyone that needs to speak?
for or against? No, we're going to close the public hearing of the work session on House Bill 3219.
Chair?
Senator Sarno.
Let me see if I can get this right the first time. I haven't rehearsed too much. I want to remove the dash 10 amendments, but I want to make the, I want to exclude lines 9 through 15 on page 2 of section 8 of the dash 10 and insert subsection 8, lines 8 through 15 of the dash 9 amendments. Now, I'm not sure how I do that.
Page 2.
Page 2.
Does that have a motion? Yes. Senator Tarno has moved we amend the dash 8 amendments dated 6:30 by deleting line 9 through 15 on page 2 and substituting lines 8 through 15 from page 2 of the dash A9 amendments dated 6:29. Questions? Comments? Objections? Hearing none, for.
Let's move House Bill 3219 as amended.
We need to move the dash 8 amendments. Senator Tarno has moved that we adopt the dash 8 amendments to House Bill 3219 as amended. Any objections? Hearing none, supported.
Chair, move the bill as amended to the floor of the event.
Senator Tarno has moved House Bill 3219 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Tarno.
Aye.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. House Bill 3219 is moved to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Chair will carry. There is no further business. The committee is adjourned.
Okay, you guys.